CBSi in the World. I'm John Batzer, and my colleague Simon Constable, who writes for Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and other distinguished publications, is in the south of France on holiday, but he is always on his day job because world commodity prices indicate where we're going. They're the glimpse of the future. These are the prices paid business to business that will be passed on with premiums to the retail audience. That's us. And that has contributed to a running debate these many months about, is this inflation? Is this recovery from the 2020 shutdown? Is this temporary? Is it in the future? Does the Federal Reserve, which is the world's central bank, everybody keys off of the Federal Reserve, is the Federal Reserve waiting too long to start the cutback, the so-called taper of bond buying? Is the Federal Reserve rethinking is the fancy English word, rethinking their dot chart and when they will begin to tighten again sometime in this decade? Simon, right now, we're keen on a couple of prices that indicate either moderation or a change in direction. Two in particular you've reported on, lumber and coffee. What can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you about lumber, that the prices have come down almost to the level that it was before the pandemic shutdown. So it's now hovering around $500 per thousand board feet. That's for what's called random length lumber contracts. That's just bits of wood that are semi-finished and you can use in the construction business. And that's come down and likely won't go up again, at least not for a while. The higher prices, 500 is still relatively high compared to where it was for most of the last decade when U.S. home builders didn't build homes. It's kind of an interesting thing that we saw for a decade there. Now they're building homes, and that demand will keep prices from going too much lower. And also the supply of lumber will remain high because it's high enough for lumber yards and sawmills to make a hefty profit. And so they've got an incentive to hire a lot of workers, get as many people in there and have as many shifts as is possible to get the wood cut from trees and get it off to the shop. So don't expect that to go up, but it's still relatively high. If it was to go down to below 400 or maybe below 250, we might see some hardship there and some sort of supply constraints because there wouldn't be as much incentive. It's not likely to happen though. So that's on the one side. Coffee still looks like in a bad situation. I would imagine that it continues to drift upwards. The people I'm talking to about coffee are saying there is going to be no holdover of inventory from the Brazil's coffee harvest. Brazil has the biggest Arabica coffee harvest in the world. That's the stuff you drink in your fancy bistro, John, and that I like to drink when I can get to a fancy bistro. That's the stuff that you really want to drink. It tastes great. And that harvest has been so terrible, there'll be no holdover inventory for next year. And that means probably the prices will be even higher going into next year. And we will all pay for that one way or another. And that's not good.
We have a report from the Financial Times following your anticipation, Simon. After enduring the worst drought in nearly a century, followed by a bout of cold temperatures, areas within Brazil's farming belt are bracing for further activity as the La Nina weather phenomenon threatens to bring more dry conditions later this year. It was already going to be a very small harvest, said one coffee grower, Ademar Pierre, 44 years old. And with the frost, it got worse. There are lots of people who've lost everything. Brazil's an agricultural powerhouse, the FT adds, a leading exporter of commodities, including coffee, orange juice, meat. But, Simon, sugar cane. Now, that is a shortage you've also seen. Do you see any indication that sugar is balancing out, or are we going to see sugar follow coffee? This has to do, of course, with the fact that we add sugar, well, let us put it this way. We have many uses for sugar. Do you see any spiking?
We see spiking coming. The people I talk to and I, having looked at the numbers, see it continue to drift higher. The oil price remains elevated. It's not as high as it was a few weeks ago, but it is still relatively elevated compared to a year ago or a year and a bit ago. It's still at a healthy price, which means that people will buy up sugar to turn it into ethanol, which is then mixed with the oil to make a blend of gasoline. If the prices of oil were lower, they wouldn't bother doing that. They would just, you know, refine the oil straight into gasoline without the ethanol. So I'm not seeing that lift, you know, going away, because there's a lot of demand for oil around the world compared to a year and a bit ago. There's also this very bad weather that they've had. You know, the dryness is not good when you have a La Nina. You've heard of El Nino, which is warm, damp weather. Well, El Nino, and then La Nina is the opposite of that, which is dry, cool weather. And that's generally not good for growing most crops, dry and cool. And often that means cold or frosts will not be good. So you would expect sugarcane crops to be low and therefore sugar prices to be higher and higher and higher.
Simon Constable reporting from the south of France. Lucky fellow. In a world of storms, certainly in Scotland, a major crisis in Kabul. And looking ahead, coffee and sugar as part of the temporary inflation question mark. We'll let the Federal Reserve decide that later on, late summer, in mid-September. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.